Should the Detroit Pistons really go after DeAndre Ayton in free agency and really pursue signing him and bring him to Detroit? We'll talk about that in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, or if you're one of the 50% of people who are watching this on YouTube and haven't hit that subscribe button already, what are you waiting for? Head to the YouTube channel, Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. I'd really appreciate it. On our way to 3,000 subscribers, continuing to show Locked On will be the best and fastest growing fan base at the Locked On Network. So again, I would really appreciate it. So obviously the name DeAndre Ayton is going to be heavily talked about within the Pistons community now until free agency starts and potentially even ends. And depending on what happens there, he could be talked about for 4 years to come. DeAndre Ayton has been probably the most rumored free agent over the last few weeks that the Pistons will be going after. Just a few hours ago before I'm recording this, Omari Sankofa of the Detroit Free Press did a mailbag, talked about his DeAndre Ayton possibility in free agency. Within this article, he said that the Pistons indeed are interested in DeAndre Ayton. And then we had, we had another national NBA reporter quote that tweet, talked about, quote unquote, the Detroit Pistons are indeed planning on pursuing DeAndre Ayton once the free agency begins. Jake Fisher threw out Detroit last week as a top option for Detroit. And now, Omari Sankofa said he's heard they're interested in him as well. So I think it's pretty clear that the Pistons are going to be going after DeAndre Ayton in free agency. But a lot of you guys are wondering, is that the right move to make? Me personally, I think it is the right move to make. I think DeAndre Ayton is good enough and is worth going after in free agency. So this is, let me get out the reasons why. I know a lot of you guys disagree, and that's fine. However, one, the Pistons have a lot of cap space this offseason. They obviously want to use it. They've been wanting to get better. They want to get better. And Cade probably wants the team to be competitive next season. Now, you've heard names like Jalen Brunson, Miles Bridges, Colin Sexton. You guys have heard these names in free agency. DeAndre Ayton is better than all three of those guys by a decent margin too. Like it's not very close. He's better than all three of those guys. So if the Pistons are going to use their money this offseason to get better, and you're telling me they're going to, you have to pick one of these free agents that they should go after, DeAndre Ayton is the best free agent out of all of them by a decent margin. So if I had to pick one of them to give a max contract, it's Ayton. That's one. Two, I don't think people quite know just how good DeAndre Ayton is. Like, is he a top three big man, top four big man? No, like there's tiers to this. So in like the first tier, you would have like Jokic, Embiid, you know, probably Gobert in there, Cat. Like you'd probably have like a set first tier of big men. But then right there in the second tier, he's at the very top of that second tier. DeAndre Ayton is a damn good player, like a really good player. And by the way, he is 22 years old. So you're getting a player who is really good right now at 22. He's not even close to where he should be peak-wise. He has all kinds of time to get better as a player, to develop. You can lock up a guy at 22 who's really good for your team that has a chance to blossom into a tier one center. I think that's a really good move to make. I think that's a really good chance to make. I don't feel like any of these – this is the thing. Any of these other guys the Pistons could get in this free agency, like I said, Jalen Brunson, Colin Sexton, Miles Bridges – these guys don't have potential to move up into like their tier one of their positions or be like all. I don't feel like any of those guys are going to be all stars. DeAndre Ayton, I definitely can see that happening. I can see DeAndre Ayton being an all star. I can see DeAndre Ayton moving himself up into tier one of the tier one centers. I can see that happening in his future. Those other guys, I can't see that happening. And just to give like some info on how great DeAndre Ayton was this past season. Again, is he tier one like Kat, Jokic, Embiid? I know a lot of people don't like Gobert, but I think Gobert is probably in that tier one. Is he like that? Not yet, but he's still damn good As a pick and roll big man, 253 possessions this past season, he ranked in the 72nd percentile, scoring 1.24 points per possession. As a post-up big man, 186 possessions, he ranked in the 76th percentile, scoring 1.04 points per possession. On cuts, 170 possessions, 69th percentile. All three of these ranking as very good. In transition, 55 possessions, he ranked in the 96th percentile, excellent. Offensive rebounds, he ranked in the 55th percentile on 104 possessions, 1.12 points per possession. And then let's get to this right here. In the short roll, the ability to have a runner, if someone's blocking you up in the basket, being able to, you know, pull up and have a little runner from the, in the short roll. He had 54 possessions of these. He scored 1.22 points per possession. That's in the 94th percentile, which is excellent according to Synergy. Around the basket, including not including post-ups, so just simply finishing around the basket that are not post-ups, he ranked in the 91st percentile on 360 possessions, scoring 1.42 points per possession, which they rate as excellent. And then on post-ups, 156 possessions, he scored 1.14 points per possession, which is 76th percentile, very good. In the overall half court, when it comes to efficiency, he was in the 93rd percentile on 793 possessions, scoring 1.14 points per possession in transition. He was in the night, like we said, he was in the 96th percentile. Overall, him as an overall efficient from an efficiency standpoint, points per possession, he was in a 94th percentile, again, ranking excellent according to Synergy. He was a damn good player. He is a damn good player. And that's a player I believe that can, and he's decent on defense too. He's passable defensively. He can make an impact defensively. Now, people will point to his performance in the playoffs. I'm not going to let recency bias get in the way of that. He's been really good. He played with CP3, but now he's going to be going from Phoenix. If he were to sign Detroit, go from Phoenix with CP3 and D-Book to playing with Kay Cunningham, who's another great playmaking point guard who's able to get his guys involved and get a big man involved like we saw with Marvin Bagley, which we'll talk about coming up soon. But also, another guard in Killian Hayes. These two guys, Marvin Bagley talked about immediately when he got here, saying, hey, these two guys play like I haven't had someone who plays like this, someone who can give me easy looks like this. People, two guards that can get me, you know, lobs around the rim are looking for me on these type of plays. Like, if you imagine DeAndre Ayton with that too. I mean, obviously he had CP3, so I think it would look pretty similar to that. But the Pistons also would be able to offer him a chance to show that he can do more, would give him more of a featured role, so where he would be able to put up more numbers. He'd be able to put up all-star type of numbers and make an all-star team and have the chance to develop on things that maybe he won't get the chance on doing in Phoenix while they're trying to contend with CP3, D-Book, etc. over there. So I know a lot of people are hesitant to give him that max. And just to go ahead, I have the numbers up for you. I meant to say this immediately. That's my fault. But the most a team can offer him now in restricted free agency is 4 years over over 4 years, I'm saying, $131.1 million. That's the max contract for him. He is going to be offered that by Detroit. He's going to be offered that by basically every team. It doesn't matter of who sells him on coming to their team. But that's the contract that you're looking for, 4 years, $131.1 million. Do I think he's worth that currently? No. Do I think he's far off of that? No. Do I think he could become worth that during that contract? Yes. And do I think that, you know, we've talked about this on the podcast before, when the Pistons are going to have to overpay for whoever they try to get to come to Detroit. This is how it's going to go. They have to overpay for someone. You have to make sure that guy you're overpaying, you one believe could have a chance at fulfilling it, could become a great player, and is worth that overpay. I don't think that's the case for Miles Bridges. I don't think that's the case for Colin Sexton. I don't think that's the case for Jalen Brunson. DeAndre Ayton's the only one in this free agency where I can say he's a really damn good player. He's young. He can impact the game on both sides of the ball. And he has a chance to take his game to the next level and end up becoming worth that contract. He's the only one. I'd be comfortable doing it. I'm all in on Ayton. We'll talk a little bit about this in a different type of way coming up. Let me know what you guys think in the comment section down below. But stay tuned. We'll look at this in a different light and try show why I believe that this could be such an impactful signing for the Detroit Pistons if they pull it off. But first, I had to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, BetOnline.net. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. And if you head over to their site right now, you'll see, again, it's not just basketball, baseball, football. They got boxing, golf, hockey, horse racing, martial arts, soccer, and tennis. And I told you guys, man, I tried telling y'all you guys should have taken the Warriors when they were at, I believe, minus 320 on the betonline.net. Eventually, they got to minus 7,000. They didn't end up sweeping the Mavs like I thought they were going to. So I might have lost you guys some slips there. I apologize. But overall, I think I was riding pretty good this past one. During this recording, we have the Heat game going on. I'm not going to show my input on that because the game's currently going on. But those are the kind of things you can do over at betonline.net. You guys can bet on series. You guys can bet on games. All those kind of things. Make sure you're heading over to betonline.net to check out the website or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends in action today. That's BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to our YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. You guys get the deal. I'd really appreciate it. So I kind of want to take this DeAndre Ayton talk a little further here, but in a different way. So on the last episode on Sunday, in the mailbag episode we recorded, in the first segment, we talked about Marvin Bagley a lot. Actually, that was the entirety of the first segment. And basically what I was trying to say in that segment was, would I want Marvin Bagley to return? Yes, I think he'd be a really good piece off the bench. So I think he could start. No. And we were talking about, what people should take away from Marvin Bagley's time in Detroit last season it shouldn't be that, oh, Marvin Bagley's the Heat of the future. He's the future big man for the Detroit Pistons. They found their big man of the future, blah, blah, blah. It shouldn't be that. What people's takeaway should be, look what could happen when you get an interior presence offensively, a vertical threat, a guy who can score inside and provide a presence and rim pressure as a big man and can finish around the rim. Look what can happen, and that dude still be trash on defense. Imagine, just look at how much of an impact that made. Now imagine if you could get one that could also play some defense and it's probably a little bit better offensively. Imagine if you can get that type of guy, what kind of impact that would make for the Pistons. That was the overall point we were making on Sunday's podcast. And we're going to further that point here by intertwining that with DeAndre Ayton. So let me give you guys an example here. This is how I'm looking at it. I know a lot of people have off guard as the Pistons' number one spot to improve. I know some people want a wing scorer. Am I saying that those things aren't needs? No, those definitely are needs of improvement. And I understand the Pistons wanting to improve them. If they go that route, they go that route this offseason. But I have argued, and I will continue to argue, that the center position, the big man position, is still the number one need for the Pistons. And I believe that position, if they were to improve that position drastically, I feel like that position would have the most impact on the Pistons becoming a better team immediately and long-term with Kay Cunningham than an off-guard would. And this is why. Now, it's not the most perfect example, but I think you guys will understand what I'm getting at here. Again, it's not the perfect example, but you guys will get my overall point. When the Pistons benched Killian Hayes, they needed more spacing. They wanted a better scorer next to Kay Cunningham. It didn't matter whether you started Corey Joseph, who shot really well from beyond the arc and provided spacing. It didn't matter if you started Frank Jackson. It didn't matter who you started next to Kay Cunningham. That was not impacting the team. It wasn't impacting team wins. It wasn't helping them play better. Like the team, it didn't look like they didn't look that much better. Like it wasn't impacting wins. So again, those guys aren't good players. Like I understand the immediate retort will be, well, cool, those guys aren't that great of players anyways. Yes, I know. That's why I said it's not the most perfect example. If the Pistons went out and got like a star at the off guard position, obviously it would have an impact. That's obviously. My overall point is that Marvin Bagley is not some great player either. Marvin Bagley has very clear weaknesses, which is defensively. He can't really shoot from the outside. He should be better from the post. Like, he has very clear weaknesses. However, simply his ability to be a vertical threat and his ability to be a lob threat changed things for the Pistons instantly. Like, changed things instantly, impactful-wise, on winning. And the reason why I bring up those off-guards, Corey Joseph, Frank Jackson, whoever else the Pistons could have tried there. Yes, they're not great players, but also Marvin Bagley isn't a great player. The point is that which one provided an instant impact? It was Marvin Bagley. And it wasn't because Marvin Bagley, like we talked about on Sunday, is a great player himself. It's because of what he brought and the key element that he unlocked for the Pistons. And that key element literally had the Pistons playing close to 500 basketball after the All-Star break. They looked like a much better team. They were winning games. A lot of people wish they wouldn't have won now that they have the fifth overall pick. So in my opinion, and I want to reiterate this one more time, yes, obviously if you got like Zach LaVine or something, you got like a great off guard, they would make an impact on this team. That's not what I'm saying. I think that that evidence shows that if you take the same quality of player basically last season and put them on the Pistons, you saw that a big man with that kind of ability changed things. So if you take that big man and add a more or you know, a wider variety of offensive skill set and also impactful on defense, what kind of impact do you think that could have had for the Pistons and moving forward? And I think that's what DeAndre Ayton would do for the Pistons. I think that I really do believe center is the most important position for the Pistons. I know earlier in the offseason, heck, even during the season, I wasn't there. I think I've always been along this, you know, this point of emphasis, but I think I'm much stronger in this point of emphasis now because I really do believe in it. And I have some numbers here that I want to read to you guys too. Like, let's look at this. So the Cade Cunningham, Marvin Bagley duo, they had an offensive rating of 110.4 and a defensive rating of 113.2. So they had a minus 2.8 net rating. The Cade Cunningham, Isaiah Stewart duo had a 104.3 offensive rating and 113.4 defensive rating, a minus 9.1 net rating. So Cade Cunningham was nearly seven points better with Marvin Bagley rather than Isaiah Stewart. If you look at Cade Cunningham, Killian Hayes, and Marvin Bagley trio, they had a 118.6 offensive rating and a 110.9 defensive rating, plus 7.7. If you look at Cade Cunningham, Killian Hayes, Isaiah Stewart trio, you got a 99.5 offensive rating, 113.7 defensive rating for a minus 14.3 net rating. So why am I bringing those numbers up? One, to say Isaiah Stewart's not the answer. He does not need to be starting. He needs to be a backup. The Pistons need a much better offense or much better starting five. And two, again, it's just to back up my earlier point. Marvin Bagley took this team's offense to a different perspective simply because he could catch lobs. DeAndre Ayton can catch lobs and score with the ball in his hands. He can score in the post. He has better touch from the, you know, that runner range that Marvin Bagley probably doesn't have offensively. And also defensively, he would impact and help the defense. The defense stayed relatively the same, honestly, which is kind of shocking to me, with Cade Cunningham and Marvin Bagley and Cade Cunningham and Isaiah Stewart. Like, the defense stayed marginally basically the same, but offensively it was so much better with Marvin Bagley. Now imagine keeping that offensive rating around that 110.4 area and lowering that defensive rating just a little bit. Now you're looking at a plus team. You're looking at plus net rating. I don't think Marvin Bagley's capable of doing that. Isaiah Stewart's not capable of doing it. I think DeAndre Ayton would be able to do it, and I think he would do it to such a high standard for the Pistons that it would really impact them immediately. I really do believe that. I think people don't truly understand just how big of a need center is and just how big of a swing having a dude that can play on both sides of the floor, who is really great offensively and also fine defensively. I don't think people truly understand how much that would change things for Pistons, and specifically Cade Cunningham. Like, I don't think people truly understand that. So that's where I'm at with it. That's where I'm at with DeAndre Ayton and the Detroit Pistons. I think they should go after him. That was my argument for it. We'll talk about this multiple times moving forward, going into the free agency. This won't be the last time we talk about it, but had to give you guys my stance real quick. Again, we'll talk about this again, but let me know what you guys think about this in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Cuckoo Hill. I know a lot of you guys aren't big fans of signing DeAndre Ayton to the max. You guys don't think he's worth the max right now. He's not worth the max right now, but he's 22. He's pretty damn good. I think he's close to that contract. I think he's the only one in this free agency that legitimately has a chance to become worth that contract. And if he does, I think that would be a great thing for the Pistons. And even if he comes up just short, again, I think his impact on both sides of the floor at that center position would be enough to change things for Detroit. Also, he's going to be given a bigger role offensively, so he could even show more and put up better numbers for Detroit. I don't think that would be a stretch. And that wouldn't stop that contract they signed him to, if he were to come to Detroit, that wouldn't stop them from being able to make moves in the future. That wouldn't stop them from being able to make future signings. Like, that's not going to cripple the cap space or anything. They still would be able to make moves moving forward. It's not like the Supermax or anything. I don't think that this contract is as crippling as some people think it would be. So, again, let me know what you guys think in the comment section down below or over on Twitter, at Cucuyo. When we come back, I just want to say what I believe would be, like, the worst possible offseason the Pistons could do. Like, the worst case scenario, if they did this, I'm pressing the red button and saying fire their alarms. We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, you guys got to hear from some of our sponsors. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. You guys get the deal. We tell you guys this every single podcast on the road to 3,000 subscribers. Continuing to show Locked On with the best and fastest growing fan base at the Locked On Network. Yada, yada, yada. Y'all get it. So this would be like the worst possible offseason for the Pistons right now. Oh, also, you guys are listening to this. It's Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day. Hope you guys are all having fun out there. You guys do sun teed. You guys go out there, get crazy, you know, have some fun. You know, stay safe, but, you know, go out there, get crazy, have some fun. You feel me? So I hope you guys enjoy that. But this would be like the worst possible offseason, in my opinion, for the Detroit Pistons. Now, they don't have to sign a big-time free agent. I've said that multiple times. I don't believe they have to do that. Like, they don't have to sign DeAndre Ayton. If they don't, I won't be mad. I don't think he's a must. I think he's someone is worth pursuing, but I don't think he's a must. Jalen Brunson, I'm not a fan of going after him. I'm not a fan of going after Colin Sexton. I'm not a fan of going after Miles Bridges, really. The Pistons do not need to splurge this offseason. However, what they absolutely 100% cannot do is basically run this back. I almost swore just now. They cannot run this back. I promise you, if they run this team back basically the same, I'm sounding the alarm, and we're going to have some conversations on this podcast. We're going to have a conversation. And when I say run it back, this is what I mean. Bringing back Frank Jackson. Bringing back Hamidou Diallo. Bringing back Marvin Bagley. Bringing back Corey Joseph. Bringing back Rodney Magruder. Not trading Jeremy Grant. Not trading Kelly Olynyk. Adding some signings. Maybe at the end of the bench or something, making your draft pick, not making any trades, just adding the draft pick, keeping Jeremy, and for the love of God, extending Jeremy. In that scenario, I promise you that jersey right there, that frame right here, that's going down. The jersey behind me, this is going down. The sign behind me, that's going down as well. Like, we're sounding the alarms. That is the worst case scenario if the Pistons were to do that. I don't believe they do that. But if they were to do like that, because, you know, Bryce Simon of Pistons Pulse, he's been on the podcast many, many times. You guys know who he is. He put it out on Twitter. He was like, what would you guys do or how would you guys feel if they made this signing? Now, Bryce wasn't supporting it. He was just throwing it out there. He wanted to see how people would feel. And it was basically the scenario I just presented. And some people were like, it would be okay. It'd be all right. But, so I just want to come on and podcast. I thought it was an interesting topic to talk about. Like, what could possibly be the worst scenario for the Pistons offseason? It would absolutely be running it back. Now, when I say the Pistons don't need to make big signings, but also not run it back, this is what I mean. Like, I'm okay with, like, I guess some people would consider this running it back. I wouldn't. But basically bringing back all the young guys, you can trade Jeremy for salary filler that you can just, like, release or something. Like, Eric Bledsoe's contract, and then you release him. I'm pretty sure his contract only worth $6.4 million if you, like, release him or something. Even though I believe one of you guys told me that the Pistons can't trade for him and then release him. We're having Keith Smith, the cap expert of Spotrac, come on the podcast soon. So I have him explain that to me. I haven't seen that anywhere. One of you guys did throw that out there, so I don't know if that you can't do that. But if you can, there's something like that. Yes, I'll be further release it. Or even just trade him for like the TPE with Portland. Or just overall, just get rid of Jeremy and then draft whoever you want at five. And then the team option guys, really, is where I think the Pistons absolutely have to change there. Like, they can bring back all the other guys. Trade Jeremy. Heck, I'd even entertain trading Kelly Olynyk. Bring in, like, some low-key signs, like Mo Bamba or something. Have him be a starting center or a backup center, whatever you want to do with Isaiah Stewart. But really, the team option guys cannot come back, in my opinion. You need to replace those guys with other similar-type chances that you took on those guys and see how that works. I'm talking about Frank Jackson, Hamidou Diallo. Decline their team options, do not bring them back, and then entertain bringing back some, like, basically the same way you guys did with them. Like, Lonnie Walker, potentially. I don't know. I'm throwing out some random names. Gary Harris. I don't know. Just some random names, some low-key signs that will cost the same as them, but dudes you believe in and think could possibly be really good pickups, and just recycle them. Keep doing it. I've said that on the podcast multiple times. That's why I think the Pistons should be doing with those like 8, 9, and 10 guys, which is what Frank Jackson and Hamidou Diallo are, until you find one that has completely proven itself as, yeah, this guy needs to stick. Neither of those guys have done that. So they did fine. They were fine finds. They're not like bad signs that Troy Weaver made. I think they were both good signs. You found good guys, but they didn't show enough. You let them go. Let them go sign somewhere else, extend their career somewhere else, and now you recycle them with someone else. You get these guys 2-year contracts, maybe a team option, a 3-year contract, maybe a team option in the last one. Give them a chance to prove that they can be the 8, 9, 10 guy in the team. And in 2 years or in a year when their team option comes up, if they haven't proven that, hey, good job. Go extend your career somewhere else. Then you keep recycling those guys. You just keep doing that over and over and over until you find someone that hits. And again, it doesn't mean that these players that they signed were bad. Again, Hamidou Diallo wasn't awful. Frank Jackson wasn't awful. But I don't think neither of those guys have proven that they're good enough to keep or good enough to be in a mainstay of a rotation. I don't think they've proven that for the Pistons. So that's why I would do that. I think that's the main thing they absolutely cannot do. That's where I'm at. They cannot run it back. And more importantly, run it back with the team option guys. If you're gonna bring everyone else back, do not run it back with the team option guys. At least get better fits out of those two. Like those two team option guys, those two spots at the end of the rotation, they should at least be better fits than those two were. Those two guys were not good fits. Hamidou Diallo can't shoot, and we've talked about him being a ball of fire and how that hurts and helps him and the team. We've talked about Frank Jackson, who's supposed to be a scorer and shooter, but can't really shoot consistently and goes through hot, cold streaks, and it's not really worth all that. So, again, at least get people who fit that position for you guys in that rotation. Like, that has to happen. If they don't and they just brought everyone back and they, accepted the team option, that would be horrific for me. Now, actually, let me have this caveat, then we'll end the podcast. I know that they could realistically pick up the team options and have them included in a trade. Obviously, if that ends up happening, I'm not freaking out or anything. I'm talking about, like, if we're entering the regular season and the Pistons have given Jeremy Grant a damn extension and they're bringing back these team option guys, and then we're entering the regular season with the exact same damn team, that we're going to have problems. We're going to have some problems. We're going to have some conversations had in this podcast. We're sounding the alarm. I would be furious. That's the one offseason that I absolutely by no measure possible can accept and excuse and act like it would be okay. Refuse. Utterly refuse for that to happen. But that's all I've got for you guys today. I just had to go on that rant real quick because I thought it was a good question, but Bryce posed out there that, what could be the worst offseason in your opinion? And that's my opinion. That's the worst offseason the Pistons could do. If you guys have another idea of the worst offseason the Pistons could possibly do, let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at @CookieHill. I want to thank you guys for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. Make sure you guys are making Lockdown NBA your second listen of every single day. From the first jump ball to play-in tournament to the last position of the finals, Lockdown experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. Again, thank you guys for listening today. Hope you guys enjoy the finals when they come up. I don't know who won the Celtics Heat game. We are in the end of the third quarter by the time I'm finishing recording this. So I told you guys in the last podcast, I think the Heat pull it off and, leave their hearts out there and pull it off. So that's who I think is going to win. We'll see how I sound when you guys listen to this tomorrow. But until the next podcast, man, you guys stay safe out there. Have fun. Happy Memorial Day. Until next time, though, I'll see you guys later. Peace out, everybody.